Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are so lucky that this gentleman puts us on his list every year when he's doing some of his tours, and he's coming through the country just talking all about the greatest ice cream in the world. Sean Greenwood is here from the Ben & Jerry's Corporation.
Thank you so much. Always a treat to be here.
Yeah. I've been there. I've been up to Vermont. I enjoyed the factory. I love Ben & Jerry's. And let me just pull back the curtain and explain how this works. Sean comes in with this big satchel of all the new stuff from Ben & Jerry's. Mm-hmm. He goes on TV, radio, everywhere around the country. And we're lucky to have him. And it's always fun because he brings treats for us. Now, when we started doing the show, when I started doing the show down in Florida, they have their act together in the Sean Greenwood Pubov PR department. They have their act together so totally that they anticipate him coming on the show. And they send me the stuff so that I can.
What a great operation!
Yeah, because he had a pop in visit once where you had no ice cream and we
and it
looked.
Killed
at,
me.
It was sad clown. Very
it killed
sad.
Me. I couldn't stand it. I said, "Is there any way?" And then the situation was resolved, and through a bunch of negotiations, similar to what they did with Trump in North Korea, we were able to arrange for the ice cream to be here, and. There is a slight wrinkle, though. There's a wrinkle that will be explained as we go on.
Okay. Fair.
And I don't think I need to explain it right now. We'll just, I think the best thing to do is to welcome Sean. Sean from Vermont, welcome.
Thank you. So always a treat to be here. Now, last time I was here, the wrinkle was you weren't wearing pants, I think, if that was correct, Mike.
That was earlier this week. I'm wearing
that's not today's wrinkle. No. We got a new...
I'm wearing lovely microfiber golf shorts right now.
Mm. And, yeah, you are.
Yummy.
Yeah, you should have your team send me a sample of that.
Thank you.
Oh, dear. No dry ice needed for that.
Are you, just because it's so hot. But aside from that, no.
Have you done... Your look, have you grown out your beard a little bit?
Doing? It's like a sexy Abe Lincoln. That's what I call this now. Yeah, it's just like you let it come down a little bit, and at the end, so it looks like...
You're not like auditioning for the sequel to Kingpin or something.
No. I think Big Lebowski. I think that's
what screams alpha male. I did something very embarrassing between the open of the show and the segment.
Yeah.
I said, Sean, you working out? Really, like off mic, not even on the air.
He was just being sweet.
And it was actually worse than that. Because what he did is as if Sean wasn't even here. He looked at me and he said, Rob, Sean is fit.
Wow. Man, oh man.
It's like a perv.
That was your word.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was like a Me Too movement for him.
Right, we know. It's never appropriate. The problem is, right, all Benninger's employees get 3 free pints a day. For every day that we work, right? That's an employee benefit. So we do have at our office, at our headquarters, a company gym to try to balance those out. And so, you try to hit that, but boy, it's hard getting old.
Are there people there? Oh, tell me about it. Are there people there that work in at the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Ben & Jerry's corporate, that are so aware of the fact that you're around this wonderful stuff that is the gym well-trafficked? Up at the Ben & Jerry's?
We probably get about 30% of the employees that use the gym. So it's probably not a bad ratio for what corporate America. The problem, there's a slogan people say when they first start out, they gain the Ben 10. It's like the freshman 15 of college. So it's one of those things you try to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I wish
Well,
I
there's
did.
Balance, right?
That's what we hope, right? Yeah. So the good room for some treats and room for working out.
Overrated! anyway... So we're here with Sean, and let's dive right in.
All right.
Okay. Now I know that you have. I have to, before you start. I have to tell you the pint slices, and this is really for if you want a treat and you want to really manage kind of what you're taking in. I think the pint slice is great. because yes. it's just the right amount, and you can maintain that and do a you sent me those pine slices.
Yeah, right.
I don't have them currently.
It's okay. We can we'll do it right here. We'll do it and we can talk.
Someone took them from my house.
Do we start with these?
So pine slices, right? One of the things that's amazing you're talking about, Mike. So this is the Ben and Jerry's idea is like the pints are what everyone loves, and so we're like, if you take that sweet spot, that middle chunk out of the slice out of the middle of pint, that's the idea of the pine slices. We started making them, and we were going to make them with a stick. In it, like, so it'd be ice cream on a stick, but all the big chunks that are in there kept pushing the sticks out. So we're like, there's not room for the stick, so we're just going with a single held. So this is how you open, gentlemen. There's an arrow that goes across the top. So you just take it, rip across the top, and then it makes a pouch to keep your fingers clean.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need a stick, right?
That's brilliant.
So when you do digging, Mike, and you know, the amazing thing, our team said, well, it's portion control because it's just one. And I was like, bullshit. I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to eat the whole box. And what's amazing is, right, because as a Ben and Jerry's guy, I get 3 pints a day. I go home, and I open a pint lid, and I often go top to bottom. I'm very excited when I hit the bottom of the pint. And the amazing thing is with these, you eat one, and you're done, and you're like, I'm happy. It was good.
It is satisfying.
And I never go back and eat a second pint slice. So it actually does work for portion control. Who the hell knew?
It does work.
Everything that Ben and Jerry's ever made is always a single serving. Even if you put out a quart, it would still be a single serving.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that talks about servings in a pint is, you're barking up the wrong tree as far as that. And I've enjoyed the Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia pint slices. Mm. And now the mint, amazing mint pint slices. And I would have brought them in, Sean, but I think it's important to point out that I suffered an injury earlier in the week, and I've been homebound.
Shut up.
This is not good.
Got my injury on Monday. Your package arrived on Tuesday. We'll talk more about that later. But that's kind of what happened. So the pine slice is not currently available.
The flavor we're enjoying in studio, Mike, candy bar pie. Mm.
Yes, a delicious candy.
So you got that one, too.
Mm. I 10 had out that of 10. Before it was stolen.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Peanut butter ice cream, nice fudge flakes, salty pretzel fusion. What is a salty pretzel fusion? That sounds
it's a style of music.
Yeah. Also a mid-sized automobile.
I was talking to Rob saying I'd got a treat to go out to Avengers Endgame premiere on Monday.
Yeah, he was in Los Angeles for that.
And salty traveling pretzel fusion. That's what beats Thanos, is a salty pretzel fusion.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't mean.
Now, what do you do?
I got to see the movie, so I don't want to give away. But Salty Pretzel Fusion is the hero.
So you just hang with the celebs when you're out.
It was
there,
ridiculous because usually I don't get to do any of that stuff. But this time, you know, they mentioned us in their last movie. They had a line saying, if Thanos is after the 6th Infinity Stone, Iron Man says, why don't we put this one down the garbage disposal? And Doctor Strange says, no can do. We swore an oath to protect with our life. And Iron Man goes, yeah, and I swore an oath to give up dairy, but then Ben and Jerry's made a flavor named after me. And so they go, Dr. Strange goes, yeah, it's called Stark Raving Hazelnuts. It's a bit chalky. They go, we prefer the Hunka Hulka Burning Fudge. So in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there are 2 Ben and Jerry's flavors there. So
there
how cool
is.
Are those guys to do that?
That's very cool.
And, we didn't pay them anything. They're just really amazing. So, got to go out this night. I said, can we at least bring some ice cream to your movie premiere launch? So that's what we did out there. We did some Hulk Smash Sundae Bar. And let people, we put a whole bunch of chunks out and let them make their own sundae.
And it was rich with celebrities?
So cool. Oh, my God. I said it was a shorter list of who wasn't there, right? There was all of the original Avengers, everyone who's been in the movies, Alison Brie, Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, all ridiculous. And then I turned the corner and ran into Kevin Feige, who's the Marvel president, right? Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have any handlers. He doesn't have any family. He doesn't have anyone following him. And I was just like, hey, I'm out here from Ben and Jerry's. And he goes, you came out all the way from Vermont? I was like, dude, what an amazing movie this is. And you're wrapping up this 11, 12 years. And so it was tremendous.
Wow.
And then I thanked him for having the salty pretzel fusion beat Thanos in the end. Thank you for working
that
into the story.
That's cool. That you get a chance to have a little fun in Hollywood.
So cool.
That is wonderful.
And it's organic. It's organic marketing.
It was.
That's all it is.
It was nice.
Because I want them to stay for a long time, I want to ask you about the pine slices. Successful, and they'll be here for a long time.
That's the plan. We just added like 2 more flavors. So
they're going good. The pine slices.
So you can find like 5 or 6 now in the supermarket. We only had 2 or 3.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's a big deal.
What's the top seller flavor
of pine slices? I believe is tonight dough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Jimmy Fallon one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Does that disappoint you, Rob?
A little bit.
Jimmy Fallon flavor.
A little bit.
Is,
yeah. I would like perhaps another, you know, honor someone else. Like maybe like Tim Allen. If you could do a Tim Allen type slice.
Well, what would the flavor be?
I don't know. Something better than Jimmy Fallon, I guess. Something more. something
Rob,
that served as.
Rob is incredibly jealous of Jimmy Fallon.
Not jealousy.
You got a lot of people confuse you two, and they'll say like it's hey, why does Rob not get the show? It's not fair.
All right, let's move on to our pint.
All right, pint selection. Okay, so the first up is the what you guys have here is cookie dough. This is a non-dairy, is why we're serving this to you first.
Oh, really?
So we figured out how to do cookie dough, right? Because usually when you make cookie dough, it's full of butter and other products. So this is vegan, non-dairy. We're up to 11 flavors of non-dairy. Mike's, look at him. He is at the same time live tasting. So, right, if you, if
Mike,
you're a non-dairy
weird acoustics
person,
on your pint there.
Pardon me?
There's an echo in your pint.
All right, I need to explain.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's empty. Yeah, it's empty.
Yep.
This is chocolate chip cookie dough, non-dairy. I'm a massive fan of the non-dairy. The flavor profile of the non-dairy is awesome. The stuff came on Tuesday. I've been a shut-in, and I ate it.
Homebound.
We call it research for the segment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't. It required a tremendous amount of willpower and self discipline to wait for you till Friday to eat this. And so, how do you like it? I loved it. In fact, there won't be a flavor here I didn't love.
The flavor is great, but the mouthfeel is so great on this. It does not taste
not
or
watery.
Feel yeah. like anything that's vegan, or it doesn't feel like you're sacrificing anything.
Fantastic.
Gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough and fudge flakes.
Thanks for doing the description, Mike. I have to do my job here. They're like, could you promote the stuff some more?
I told you it wasn't going to be a normal.
Also, I don't know.
Told you it wasn't going to be a normal segment there, Sean.
It's like Bane eating ice cream.
Exactly.
I can put it in the trash now. I have eaten the entire pint.
From the superhero episode.
Yes, right.
All right, we're moving along. Next flavor. Into the three cookie dough core flavors. So these are brand new this year. Big gob of cookie dough right down the middle. The first one is kind of inspired by the classic cookie dough ice cream. It's a cookie milk base, fudge chips, chocolate chip cookie dough core down the middle.
Wow. What's it called?
That one is called chocolate chip cookie dough core.
Ding. Now,
it's correct delicious.
Answer. Wait a minute. It's another empty pint.
That's why I kept God.
He is two
chocolate
for two, ladies
chip
and gentlemen.
Cookie dough core. Let me
now, were those full when you shipped them to him?
I believe there was supposed to. Did he get that at the 9 a.m. hour or the 10 a.m.? How long have
I
you
got
had
it
those?
Early. It came early. It came early on Tuesday, right after I'd done the show. And it's mighty good. They're none of them that I can poo-poo.
Two things. First of all, are you shocked that the other lesser competitors have not tried to steal the core concept?
Yeah, you think it's hard to do, right?
Is that
one of the things that it's really hard to make ice cream like that? And so, you know, hats off to our team it's not just the team like who comes up with it, right? The innovation guys go, let's do it this way. And you're like, yeah, now the tech guys have to figure out how to
do it. Yeah.
Right? And so it is really hard to make that kind of stuff work well.
Am I right?
When you really want to, I just want to show my pint. Yeah. When you're really eager, you leave the plastic up on the top because you don't wait to cut through it. You just tear it.
Like a bear got it.
If we're keeping track at home, the slices are gone and two pints are gone so far.
So far.
And we're on to flavor two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's go. Sweet like sugar is what we have next here, Mike.
This is the one I have.
Okay.
This is the one I have.
Oh, yeah.
Live eating.
So live eating.
We'll mimic.
I only
Mike
ate.
Has eaten this pint.
Oh, I only ate that much.
Look,
half.
He left.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So but it's just soft and perfect to turn it over.
The amount that's left looks like it's a sample. It's not even like a pint. It looks like something that's just right from the lab.
So this one is supposed to be like sugar cookie inspired. So it's called Sweet Like Sugar. It's sweet cream ice cream, almond flavor in there, shortbread cookies, cherry ice cream, and a sugared cookie dough. Mm-hmm. So cherry, almondy.
This is a game changer. And I'll tell you why. Is that a lot of people don't realize maraschino cherries don't taste like cherries. Mm. They're actually almond flavored. So you're getting a double dose of almond goodness here.
This is Rob's foodie side.
Alton, how do you know that?
Again.
What do you mean maraschino cherries taste like almond?
If you close your eyes and just taste a maraschino cherry, it doesn't taste like, it's not tart like a cherry. Mm. It has the cherry consistency, but the flavor profile is that of almond. This
Are
is
you
true.
Lecturing our guests from Ben and Jerry's?
No, you forward? Asked me. You asked me, and I answered.
Getting a little hostile about it.
I like that he's passionate about it, though.
Yeah.
I love. Obviously, I love.
You're a foodie guy. I know this from before. But you know
what
I mean?
What would be if someone was to say, and this is a real ice cream connoisseur.
Oh, here we go.
Hey, how are you, Chubby Chicken?
you ate the oni.
If you were to recommend, when you pull it out of your freezer, the proper amount of counter time to leave your pint to make
Buffening.
It perfect.
Yeah. We're going to go and try to blow some minds on this answer. Don't leave it on the counter. Pull it out and put it in your refrigerator like an hour before you're eating it. Like if you're serving the whole thing for guests, you want it perfectly tempered, pull it out, put it in your fridge for about an hour.
That makes perfect sense.
It tempers Frankie, much more slowly, right?
Yeah.
This is why my job's a 4-year degree. Because you need science combined with
science.
Technology.
Yes.
Pretzel fusion technology. I don't remember what it
These
was.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
Nice. Another
now,
throwback.
What about the people that I don't know that I agree with this? That microwave it for like 15 seconds.
You know, we get it. I do it, right? Like when you're at work and you're having a tough time and you're like, I'm in, and you go to the employee freezer and you grab it and boom, it's the quick way to do it. The problem is it makes the middle all soft, which is kind of nice when you have these cores that you want to dig out, because sometimes at work we just go in and open up and eat the core out and put the rest in the freezer and you never eat the rest, which it's a waste. It's not fair. We compost.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're like you're just eating the icing.
Yeah,
on a cake.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But in terms of a regular pint of ice cream, if you do that, then it melts quickly, and then if you put some back in the freezer, it's going to freeze and get crystally and crunchy, and so that's not good. So try not to use a microwave.
This is amazing. This approach is for me, Cherry Garcia, my all-time favorite.
Look at that. Mm. So
sugar ice cream.
I was just up at Emerson College this week, and I had a co-ed ask me, "What is your favorite flavor?" And I said, "Cherry Garcia," and she nodded, and she goes, "Yeah, it sounds like a dad flavor."
Dad flavor.
Oh, like now it's been around so long.
Right, like I'm just an old guy now.
It's still a cool flavor.
Wow.
Dad flavor.
Dad flavor. Right through that.
Right through the heart. All right, last one is wake and no bake.
Thank you.
Wake and no bake.
I got it. I got that one.
Still got it?
I still got it, baby.
Still got it. I didn't eat it, guys.
What we're going to do next time is I'm going to ship it one day earlier to Mike, and we're going to see... How many? Like, there's got to be a math number. Like, if I give him 9 pints 4 days early, or like 12 pints
like
5 days early, there's got to be one that's like perfect. He couldn't work through it.
There it is.
There it is.
Wake and no bake.
Wake and no bake. Well, vanilla ice cream.
Oh, no! It's gone. You monster.
I am not.
You monster.
Listen to me. I've gained 15 pounds this week. I am not exaggerating. I'm going to be honest with my audience. This is all me. I did this. I can't tell you the specific effing times that I did this, but I did this. All week, I had a bad back. I couldn't do anything. This was my only pleasure.
Is there medicinal marijuana in Florida? Is that what it is?
I think there is now.
Okay,
I think
could explain. That could be the back treatment. It could be combination.
We could not script this, Sean. We could not script the fact that we're doing a taste test and he's eaten
I like the taste test.
He's informed.
Still have the sugar cookie, though, or the sweet like sugar.
What was great is I knew that his ice cream was arriving on the day it was, and it was the day his back was really giving him some trouble.
Nice, he got a treat.
So I texted his wife, Carla. I said, expecting some ice cream today, and she says, got it. And I said, if Carla got the ice cream, maybe it's safe for Friday.
Tell you, the last time this was done, the last time Sean visited us, it was put in the freezer. I brought all the stuff out untouched,
right.
And this time I said, no.
This is the injury talking, people. This is pain.
The injury talking. Yeah. That's exactly
not,
what it is.
This is playing in pain. This ice cream is why you got a show on Wednesday, why you got a show on Thursday. It got him through it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Amen, brother.
But that's the wake and no bake, right? No
what
bake
a great
cookies.
Flavor.
Like that chocolate oatmeal peanut butter cookie that you make and drop on the counter. Vanilla ice cream, peanut butter cookie, peanut butter ice cream, fudge chip, no bake cookie core.
Fantastic. Mm. Peanut butter running a theme today. Is there a
We've
lot of
been doing a lot of peanut butter lately. It's definitely been very trendy.
Tests high.
People love it.
Is it a dad flavor?
Works. Well, I think the problem, the kids have been too weak the last couple decades. They have allergies now, so they can't, like, it's just maybe the old guys plow through.
How do you how do you measure what's trending? I ask this because you probably have some insight into your team, but also... Well, the guys here were raving about the fact that that chicken and waffles are everywhere. Mm. Like chicken and waffle, everything. Yeah. Chips, everything. Yeah. There, is
a
there,
chicken core, maybe.
Ooh. Is the, as you strategize, and I know that microbrews have to learn early, like what are they going to go for? What are the key ingredients for their beers? As you have your staples, clearly, right. But you innovate all the time.
You're right, and you have to because your fans are like, we want something new, but they're also saying, don't mess with my cookie dough.
Right.
Right. And so cookie dough is almost always magic for us. We've got, you know, 17 versions of cookie dough, this cookie dough, that. But you still say, how do we come out with something that's new and unique? So you take like these, the sweet like sugar and the wake and no bake. Those are crazy out there that you start going, how many flavors and textures are you combining? And so the team will go out, our research and development team will actually go find a city. It might be Toronto this year, might be Detroit next year, LA, and they'll go into 5 or 6 restaurants and go, give me every dessert on the menu.
Oh, wow.
And so they'll sit there and just bring a table full of desserts. Bite of this, bite of that. What's trending? Is it pomegranate? Is it salty? Is it texture stuff? Is it people want height on their dessert, right? So they find out this stuff and they come back. They're like, I got some inspiration now. We see, you know, lemon poppy seed seems huge on the West Coast. Let's take that and play around with it, see what we can do.
You know what's weird is that whole thing of going in and ordering every dessert in a restaurant. Mike and I have done that, but we don't make ice cream. We just do it.
Do you have any? But there is no, I mean, there isn't, like, you don't start the year 2019 and say, we're going to go for 5 new flavors this year, because you look at sales and you try something. Yeah. And if the idea is there, you put it out there. And then if it sells, it sells around. If it doesn't sell, it doesn't stick around. Isn't that the way it works?
Well, and you're a year in advance, right? Like, so we've got 2020 flavors pretty much locked in at this point.
Wow.
Right. And so you have to, because you got to source the ingredients for it. You need to get all the packaging done for you. So you need to get that process done in advance. And then you're putting some things out. So you might say salted caramel. You might go, that trend's got to be over. And you're like, go look at this. Right. And for us, you look at what you're saying. How does it perform in the market? What do your fans love? When those flavors drop down, we got about 50 pint flavors total. When it gets down to number 46 to 49, you're like, yep, you're not looking good, people. But you drop those out, and then it lets you bring in new ones like this, and everybody wants something new.
It's awesome. Well, smart. Continued success and tremendous for the environment and for a lot of other things.
That
Ben and Jerry's, it's a great place. If you're ever up in the Vermont area, please check out their factory tour. I did that on the day they were cleaning. I'll never forgive myself. Right. We're going to go again, but we're going to Canada.
I said last time we talked National Ice Cream Month, you guys could be doing. You're going to Canada, so maybe you can stop on the way. Or maybe we can come up and meet you there. Where? What part of Canada are we talking about?
We're going to Montreal this summer.
We are on the way. Yes, I know. We're like an hour south of there.
Well, my buddies that we're going with are in Burlington, so let's
stay in touch.
Yeah, very good. Sean, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Sean.
Ben and Jerry, Sean Greenwood, always fun. And we will take a break, and I'm going to take a nap. We'll start the show when we come back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Good evening, 007.
My name is James Bond. And members of your curious profession are few in number. You have been recognized. Let's say by one of your opposite numbers, who is also licensed to kill. Oh, that interesting car of yours. I too have a new toy, but considerably more practical. You are looking at an industrial laser, which emits an extraordinary light not to be found in nature. It can project a spot on the moon, or at closer range, cut through solid metal. I will show you. This is gold, Mr. Bond.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. There is nothing you can talk to me about that I don't already know.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Hey, sports fans, if you've never placed a bet on sports or politics or anything, I need you to listen up. Our partners at MyBookie make it easy. Don't be nervous. Jump in and have some fun. Whether you are a novice or a seasoned pro, with MyBookie, you can turn game day into payday. Think how much fun this Sunday could be if you have some skin in the game, someone to really root for. And when you give MyBookie a try, you really are supporting TMOS and having a blast at the same time. Want to play the favorites? Try putting a couple in a parlay for a much bigger payout. You can even bet my New York Giants, who have a terrible, horrible losing season. They always manage to cover the spread. A parlay gives you a chance to turn ordinary bets into big wins. Sign up at MyBookie, and when you do, use our promo code TMOS to claim a deposit match, dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. That's promo code TMOS for you to claim your bonus when you make your deposit. It's like free money, so don't miss out. Start your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. Use promo code TMOS and double your first deposit now. MyBookie, get in on the action. Well, here we are. That was a very long birthday segment.
It was.
And I know there are certain segments of the listening public that doesn't care for that.
Well, it's a
and
public service.
I'm here to say screw off.
I thought it was a delightful
I'm a public. That was fun. Like, to hear Rob do what he did,
right.
To hear do what you do what you did. And to Tommy hear, was great.
To hear you do what you do,
I
Oscar.
Did nothing.
To hear Pony do, nearly do
I
something.
I was doing my taxes.
To hear you do one of the two that you do is...
I wish I did more.
Is really
I try
terrific.
Them.
Yes.
I try them at home in the bathroom.
What did you try at home?
Oh, no, it's embarrassing.
No, try. What would be one... Maybe if you don't do it, at least tell us what you were motivated to try.
I tried Garrison Keillor.
Oh, okay.
Of all people.
Let's hear Garrison Keillor.
No, I can't. I'm not a mimic. You're...
It's Oscar Santana, broadcasting off Wisconsin Avenue.
You know what? When he does that, it sounds like you should put a tap on the phone line.
It has to be a little bit audible.
Yeah.
You have to hear a little bit of it. You know, I do it all the time. And sometimes it drives Carla nuts. I've been doing one the last couple of weeks. You know the one that I'm obsessed with.
Francis Underwood.
No, McConaughey.
Oh, that yeah. one too, yeah.
All right, all right, all right. Yeah, yeah sorry. And I do the True Detective, Matthew McConaughey, and he's almost inaudible.
Okay.
So what you're saying? She said they found a lady out in the woods, antlers on her head. All right, all right, all right.
Now, Mike,
little
it's been
lady out in the woods.
It's been years.
I'm going to drink this. I'm going to drink this whiskey. I'm going to drink Jameson's whiskey. That's what he drinks.
Does it really?
Yes. Hello, Rob.
It's been years since Mike has done the
how's
impression.
Carrie?
She's good.
All right.
She's
Shannon?
A big fan.
She's great.
Hey, Mike, how's Carla?
How's who?
Carla.
Carla.
How are you? All right, all right, all right.
It has been so long, Mike, since you've done
I
the impression.
I keep getting older. The girls stay the same age.
Do you think you could put together a crash course for Oscar to at least
please.
Get him started on
some
voices? I mean, start something easy like Ed Sullivan or Jimmy Stewart.
When you are doing Garrison Keillor, he attempts to be soft-spoken,
mm-hmm.
and he has the face of a pug dog.
He does.
So his nose is smashed into his face. So the first thing I do is I crinkle my nose down, so it's like I close off the airway.
I've never noticed that. You actually move your nose
you
when you do it.
You actually move the nose down.
I don't know if I can do that.
Hold it, but we're on to another voice there. Do that voice a little more.
Let's hear that one. Because he might have stumbled into Kermit the Frog.
Exactly.
I don't know if I can do that.
It's Kermit after it's after the stroke, Kermit.
I don't think it's Kermit.
I don't know what it is. You don't. Now, I'm going to tell you that I don't think you're making a legitimate
I
effort.
Am.
Yeah, I don't think
close a, how do you even close a nasal passage?
You know, when you do impressions, Oscar, it's always interesting.
I don't know how you would decide to do that.
You don't, but see, you're doing two things at once.
Yeah.
What you want to do, I'm speaking the way I normally speak. I just
okay.
close off the nasal passages. So, for example, give me something to say, Robin. I'll repeat it by closing off my nasal passage.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
See?
Now, that's it. Now, I don't, that's not the full impression because
these
I also.
These are the best biscuits.
No, you can't hold your nose.
Close both nose.
Can he do it by
and
pinching?
And then do a lower voice, do a lower register, and kind of whisper it and say, these are the best biscuits
these
I've ever had.
These are the best biscuits I've ever had.
That's really not going
to
work.
I'll just stick to my spreadsheets.
How low can you make your voice go?
Well, hello there, little lady.
That's Mrs. Bear's Biscuits. We're going to bring Diana Krall up here with the ukulele playing.
Do you think with his low register, you could walk him through John Wayne?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like you to talk amongst yourselves, and then I'm going to read the agenda for the Prairie Home Companion.
Okay. Oh, please.
I want to really see what...
Are there any impressions you'd love to be able to do, since you've mastered me and the Gingerbread Man?
Oh, God. I used to do Marvin the Martian.
Well, you see, that's almost that Kermit
voice. Is Marvin
voice
the Martian
again.
The Warner Brothers?
Yeah. Yes. You know, he has a,
yeah, we're going to go this way.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Do you think you can call back on that?
What is it? He used to say something about his planet.
Well, the UP-38 space modulator, I think, is one of his quotes.
UP?
No.
No, try it. Go with it. Run.
You know what? I hate you, Rob.
No. We're going to make this work.
This is horrible.
No, it's great.
No, it's horrible.
I've never been more entertained.
I can do... Who else could I do? I can't do anybody.
Do you do any people from your foreign land?
No, I don't do anything.
Like Don Francisco?
Don Fred Sabado Gigante!
See, that's good!
No.
Live
that
from the
Fitzgerald
Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I stink.
The very home companion, the news from Lake Wobegon.
I want to see some of the stuff he has. I'd like to do, because you know, the one thing about doing anything like this, and I've done this since I was a kid,
yeah,
and I was really hired, the first time I was hired at a major market station, was to do impressions.
Voices.
That's what I was hired for. So you always want to have better material. You always want to have new, the voice is the voice, but you always want to have more stuff.
Subject
and
matter.
Sometimes when you get bogged down with that, like you want to make it so authentic that you're delivering the exact lines, mm-hmm, that will kind of destroy the thing. And what you want to do is you want to just make it silly. And that's what I've always tried to do. Makes it, if I get too hung up with doing the lines, but at the same time, if you've really got the voice down like a James Gandolfini and you can say the whole tray,
yeah,
you know, you can, you get a line that he's used for them Sopranos, that's fun too.
Yeah.
So it's weird, but I'm always thinking about it.
My favorite for you is when you would say you're doing Garrison Keillor and you would do four sentences, absolute straight and accurate, and then the fifth sentence, that's the curveball that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, for example, I don't know the biscuits that they sell.
No,
I don't know the biscuits.
I remember
that
the
they
motto
sell.
Is heavens, they're tasty.
Heavens, they're tasty. Heavens, they're tasty. Ma Vagina's biscuits.
His
See,
writing.
That's where it's not Ma Vagina's.
His writing
biscuits.
Is fine, but to listen to him on the radio, and I've tried, it's painful,
yeah,
because of the way Mike. You know, Mike illustrates it with the no.
Well, because he does it so well.
With the nasal blockage, it's no good.
Yeah, it's powder milk biscuits. There you go. I don't know what they are.
Heavens, they're tasty.
Yes, they're tasty.
I'll say this. I can try, but it's funny because Shannon will catch me sometimes. She'll be like, just let Mike do them. And I said, no, I don't want to do them on the radio. I want to see how he does them. I'm fascinated by it. And then I say, look, if you're going to do handstands, just do handstands. Don't show the whole world.
Well, it's fun, though. I think everybody likes your impressions. I think you
no, they're horrific.
Oscar's impression is brought to you by Brother Andrew's Anal Biscuits.
The best of O'Mara.
Let's open up the audio vault for Thursday, August 30, 2018. Rob Spiewak.
I want to say thanks to all the cards and letters that rolled in after we debuted the new feature, the Mike O'Mara Show Police Blotter that we did this
yes.
week.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Let's revisit, shall we?
Yes,
please.
Let's do it.
Let's open the blotter and we talk about Cleet Keller. Cleet Keller is a guy in Colorado, and he took a trip.
Is Cleet short for Cletus?
Well, I've known people named Cletus, and yes, Cleet is short for Cletus.
Very good.
Okay. Gotcha.
Not land.
No, not Landon. So this guy goes on a trip and he has to have a pet sitter. So he goes to one of those apps where they hook him up with a pet sitter. But he comes home early. He doesn't tell the pet sitter he's coming home early. He just comes home. When he gets home, he finds the pet sitter is in the shower and there are two shirtless men in his living room. And I'll let the tape tell the rest of the story.
The general smell in the house was just disgusting. I've had all the windows and doors open. There was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder on the end table. So it's pretty self-explanatory what was going on.
But to be completely honest, I didn't have WD-40 and my keys were stuck in my car. So I ended up grabbing what I had in my car from things that, you know, I do in my personal time.
So what she's saying is the personal lubricant was to try to get the keys out of her car.
The thing that they didn't know was
the
smell.
The guys had no shirts on. Let's go back to the tape, shall we?
And I didn't think to put it back in my car.
There's also what I can only assume are bodily fluids on the couch.
I wouldn't know anything about that because I know that I took a shower at his house and I sat on the couch and a towel. And that was before
Stop it right there. Excuse me, hon. You're a dog sitter. You don't take a shower at the guy's house without his permission.
I'm here
you're,
for the gang bang and walking the dog.
You're busted. And the camcorder and the lube. And then, God, she's just lying lying was
like
lying,
the Eiffel Tower. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a total mess. And I can only imagine what poor Jimbo saw in there.
Jimbo's like the dog. I apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information and I had guests over when I shouldn't have.
She had guests
She's
over.
She's good. She's good, isn't she? Yeah. She is just.
That's what the two guys said.
God, Americans. Man.
I have friends that work on these services.
Yeah.
And they're like ninjas. They go in. Walk the dog, and then they drop off the dog and move on.
Yeah, they got
no one's taking showers.
If you want to make money, it's all about time.
Guess over.
Two guys, personal lubricant, and the house.
And a camcorder. Not even using their phones, actually busting out a camcorder. He was a beautiful dog, but he looked sad.
That's so gross. So nasty.
Mike, how would you like it if your penis was in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Whoa.
That'll never be happening. Right?
No, it could
be. I guess you have small and large.
Here's the record that is held by the Micronecta I think it's Schlalitzi. It is the it has the loudest penis.
Oh.
Loudest.
Yes.
What is it?
The loudest penis is that of a tiny European species of an aquatic freshwater insect. It has a very small water boatman bug, 2 millimeters long, that rubs its penis against its abdomen, a process known as stridulation, which serves to attract a mate. The chirping
I had a couple
noise.
Of roommates at American University that I think practiced that. Yeah.
But did it attract a mate?
No. That's why they did it.
That's what the bug looks like, but he's 2 millimeters long. Do you know how loud it is? I'll play the. This is the sound of the stridulation. But in close proximity, 99.2 decibels, the same amount of noise made by the front row viewing of an orchestra.
Wow. I've heard that in ponds. Yes. Is it? It's not confined to. That's a legitimate sound at night that you hear.
Yeah, I imagine that this was a particularly loud one. I'm sure we have stridulation going on in the United States as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the record holder right there.
Wait, so by the way, if you want to find out and you want to hear that in person, you just drive by Mac's house.
Windows are open all the time.
If you want to get in the record book, get a loud penis.
I can't come to dinner now. I've got to go to Micro Center right after I finish my stridulation.
Your brother, the tennis player, is waiting down here.
He did it too.
I know he did. This is a new trend online, and I don't know why I found it so appealing. The new deal is you go online and you find a police department scanner, mm-hmm. and you know they simulcast all of that online now.
Then there's apps that pick it up as well.
Yeah, and then you go to SoundCloud and pick a channel of easy listening music and listening to them at the same time, and it's very soothing. It's called Police Scanner Ambient Music.
97.5 SL 97, come in. 36.
Creepy.
But I find it soothing.
It's like Stranger Things.
You find it soothing?
Yes.
It's terrifying to me. I feel like I'm watching one of those documentaries on cereal.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. It's almost like cereal.
Something you would hear at the
Automat.
It's
exactly like cereal. Yeah.
Well, I like it.
What's the one that was on Netflix, Pony? The one about the mass murderers. Manhunter.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, it's like a scene from Manhunter.
Yeah, it's creepy.
But I also find this soothing.
There it is.
All right, I'll save Garth Brooks until tomorrow. Stop that. So
you love Garth Brooks. You always play Garth Brooks.
No, I always play Luke Bryan.
Anytime we can take a step to help facilitate dreams in agriculture,
I'm giving out scholarships.
Smarter about.
I'm doing a farm tour.
Food's being
He's
made.
A good man, Rob.
He's a great man.
Being good, safer and stuff.
I'll
like
give a
that.
Scholarship and to a farm it's, family. It's,
the awareness of that can never be. Undermined. I mean, that's so.
All
if
right,
I can
all
bring
right,
some,
all right, you're not doing
Jesus
anything.
Jesus Christ!
It's Garth Brooks
again.
He's
out of control.
All right, I want to close with this. I still, to this day, think Bob Newhart remains a funny, funny guy. He still does occasional.
From Heart to Heart?
No, that's Robert Wagner.
Oh,
Newhart from Newhart or the Bob Newhart Show or the Bob Show.
Don Rickles' best friend.
He was on Conan last night, and I didn't know he would do an impression. I'll close with this. This is Bob Newhart's impression of Joe Pesci voicing a GPS.
Yeah, we're going to be coming up on a... Well, you're going to want to make a right here in about make you right. How come you didn't make a right?
He's so old, too. He's so, and he does it with Newhart's
right. What's wrong
rhythm.
The Best of O'Mara.
I hope it's not too late to return that rented Ted Bundy costume I got.
I know. Well, it was, you know, it wasn't a mask. It was just the outfit.
Yeah, well, that's I didn't want to invest in a flannel shirt.
It didn't fit you, though.
Oh, the buttons.
You know it did. Well, buttons. I mean, I've never seen a corduroy sport coat strain that much.
The patches came off the elbows.
Right. Buy tickets to the show. The following commercial did not in any way give you any indication of what we're selling.
Yes, please.
You know, by the way, would you like my number one main observation?
Yeah,
something
please.
That has changed a little bit? Probably hasn't. But it's something I observed. I've been taken to pointing out to my son, hey, there's another Santa. There's another Santa. Michael, there's a Santa. There are more Duck Dynasty dudes here now than I have ever seen in my life. And they're all my people. The world is getting older society. But they're also, you know, we went to lunch with Michael the other day. And there's a guy that looked like he was 1,000 years old sitting at the bar, and he turns over to us and he goes, hey, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, no.
Okay, I just felt weird. I had a very weird moment about that. It was interesting that he's just looking over at me. There are a lot of these guys, I don't know whether you call them mountain men or Santa Claus. You can't call them Santa when they're not fat, and most of them are not fat.
Okay, unless it's Santa.
I'm talking beards down to the navel cut. ZZ Top beards.
Doesn't it throw you a little bit? Doesn't it sort of throw you off your game when someone who looks visibly old, and if you have a long beard, you're going to register as old, and then they like something like Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones, because old people shouldn't like that. And then I realize, oh, yeah, I guess we're all old now, and they're old, so it's okay. But it's weird when you see someone with like
a
Rip Van Winkle beard saying, I like the movie. I play Tattoo You. You know, it's like
all
wrong.
Perspective. It's weird, and it happens. And when you get to this point in life, you don't understand how weird it must look.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm sitting chatting with my next door neighbors who are in their 20s, I don't know how old I sound when I make a reference to something.
Have they asked you to buy them beer yet?
No, there's no problem with them bringing their own.
Are your main neighbors? Have you seen Animal Kingdom, Rob?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So are they the main equivalent to Animal Kingdom? They're just like young guys living alone with all kinds of toys?
No, they're a normal nuclear family with a daughter that is Michael's age that plays with Michael.
Right. Yes.
I don't have the people on the other side. I have no idea what's going on. I know it's a grandmother and grandfather, and there are grandkids around, and I know that she puts eggs out at the end of her driveway. And so we get fresh eggs from a chicken
coop
on their property. Real, legitimate
chicken. Fresh eggs, like, from the chicken?
From our next-door neighbor, when she puts them out.
That's so cool.
That's amazing, and there's nothing better than fresh eggs.
Do they taste the same?
No, they taste better.
Oh, they're so much better.
You can taste the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, down in Florida, one of the parents that was not living in one of those standard gated communities down there actually lived in rural Florida, a little further away from where all these little senior citizens live, was talking about the chickens they have and that they love it, that they actually love being in that rural. And the eggs are, if you have a real chicken egg that's fresh, you will notice the difference.
Right away.
Dramatically
right away.
So. It's Damn. Very, very, it's are the, very different.
That's are cool. the shells different colors based on the different breed of chicken, or are they just white eggs?
They're covered in dung.
Oh, well, then.
No, I'm sorry. No,
that's the magic.
No, what they are
the gag.
Is
the sauce.
That's the gag. You've been eating chicken poo. You've been eating chicken poo all day. That's the gag.
I've never seen a brown yolk. Doing improved chicken products.
That's the gag.
That's the gag. Love that chicken. We're doing a Batman riff right now. The difference is they're not all uniform.
Yeah.
So you know how you go to, well, for a while there, the white chicken eggs that they would have, which were I don't know what chemical process they did for those. But then you have the brown eggs, but they're pretty uniform in color. Mm-hmm. These eggs have a little different quality to them.
Spotting,
they're
all, maybe?
They're a little spot.
I believe, spotty. Mike, it has to
little
do...
Little melanomas all over the egg.
That's what it is.
I don't know. I'm not a chicken expert.
It's contingent, I believe, on the breed of the chicken and also the feed. The feed will change the color of the shell.
How do you know this?
Here's the thing. You don't really know what they're feeding the chickens.
You don't. Mm.
You really have no idea. I mean, no. It could be anything. I don't know what chickens eat or whether chickens can eat anything.
Chickens, but here's what I know, Mike. Chickens love meth.
Chickens will eat anything. Let me tell you,
revelations from the great state of Maine.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of Duck Dynasty guys out here.
Yeah.
It's delightful to have people that sell, it's called Campwood, where you'll go and every now and then you'll see a house that has a wooden shed, a tiny little wooden stand, and underneath it are bales of firewood. And you have to be very particular because some of the firewood is young and it doesn't burn, like the ones, the wood that we got recently. But then you also
seasoned.
How do you know what's young wood?
Doesn't burn really well. I assume it's young wood or it's bad wood.
It's
wet.
Wet wood. Ooh.
No, you know what? We're on a search for wood. By the way, that's what turning 60 is all about. It's a search for wood. And you know, that's why I'll be seeing a pharmacist. No, let me stop. Let me stop right there. What I wanted to say is...
What are you doing?
I'm trying to tell you what's going on up here.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got people that...
Good wood,
you have,
bad wood.
You have the next door neighbor selling eggs.
Edward.
Selling eggs.
Just down the... She sells...
I thought she
honor
just gave
system.
Out.
Oh, no, honor no. system.
$2. Honor system.
$2, that's practically giving them away. $2 for a dozen eggs.
Oh,
that is pretty good.
Is it like
game,
a box?
Right? Pretty good. Right?
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Is there a box? You just put like.
It's a regular carton. It's an egg carton of a dozen eggs.
So where probably do you put the money is the question.
I think there's a. Carla picks them up, so I don't grab them.
You do the, she does the grocery shopping.
I think she does the grocery shopping.
It's the way it should be. It's a woman's job.
I'll go in there occasionally. You know? I'll go in there, you know, and I'll say, hey, how about these? When I go in there, I'm treated like a 3-year-old. I'll walk in and say, how about these organic raisins? Put them back. The hell did I do?
As a courtesy,
what's going on here?
Do you return the cartons to your neighbor?
I don't think we have.
I think you should. I think that would be a lovely courtesy because obviously she has to provide those. And if she could recycle them, think about that. That'd be one step out of her process and a good way to maybe get a discount. Hmm?
Yeah, it's a very thoughtful thing.
It's $2.
Yeah.
What's
How
your
much
point,
more
Sheriff?
Discount can, do you want?
No, but he's got a point. It might be a really good way to get more eggs. I don't know. I mean, you know, why don't you get on a plane and fly up here and bring the carton back?
You know what? If I were to darken your door, you would scream with horror. I will not go up there.
I would not. I would go to the bar, and we would be on the deck within 3 minutes.
You know, actually, you're right. Just a bottle of booze and a dozen eggs.
Both of you. Yeah,
you go. It would be.
So let me keep track. So it's the Campwood. We're not real happy with that. That didn't work out. Doesn't burn that well, but we'll figure that out. Then you got the eggs. Then down the road, less than a mile, a lady sells fresh-picked crab meat from Maine crabs. I can't do it. Migraine headaches. I haven't been eating shellfish, so I can't do that. I really can't. I mean, it's not. The trade-off is the food so good that I can deal the next day? No. Doesn't work that way. The headache takes me out. You guys have seen me get one on the show. You know what happens to me when I get one of those.
I think it's
not pretty.
I think it's too early, but have you been to visit the blueberry and pot family yet?
The blueberry, you mean the ones,
it's a
pottery?
Pot farm.
Yeah, don't they have blueberries and pot?
No, that's crab meat. That's crab meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that too specifically.
Oh, understood.
Because that's big up here too.
Sure.
I have been told that if you take a good walk around the property in the woods, you'll come across fields that are interesting.
Yeah, with long white beards.
But it's legal. So it's not that big
like
a deal.
Like in Ozark.
Yeah, Ozark.
But it's not like I'm going to be in the jungles of Colombia and somebody is like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, they're not going to shoot me or anything.
Not if
like
you have
that.
A machete on you.
But I don't think it's that.
Actually, you'd be approached by a guy who would say, why don't you have a longer beard? Why is it so short?
There's a lot of individual entrepreneurship up here dealing with the circumstances. And that is now legal.
A cash crop.
And it's a cash crop.
That aside, the blueberries, when do they come into season? Is that later in July?
Later in July.
Because I remember one time we were up there.
Mid to late July.
On the way to the airport, we stopped at a house that just had like a sign up. And you bought like a 4-pound box of blueberries.
at the Lounders.
That were outstanding. They were just so good.
They're spectacular. And as I try not to choke to death. Here I go again.
Uncle Bill.
There's so much fresh stuff up here.
Yeah.
The deer up here are the size of moose. They're massive, so you can't hit one of them. You're going to mess up your car. They got wild turkeys up here in the middle of the field. It's you know, rural America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's spectacular. The air is fresh. Well, it's not fresh, really. I heard about that.
What?
But the jet stream actually means there is pollution up here.
Yeah, but you don't have that. You don't have that red tide.
No, we don't have red tide. But it's interesting. We're into it. I'm enjoying it. It's nice. It's been a crazy week, busy week, but it's very, very interesting to be up here. And apparently, pot everywhere. Yeah, you can't walk 3 feet without tripping on a pot plant. That's the way it goes. And it makes me more inclined to want to smoke the stuff, but I get too paranoid. And I had a paranoid attack almost 40 years ago, and I'm still afraid to do it.
But Mike, just know this. If you buy some pot, make sure you return the carton as a courtesy.
Do you really think, where did you get that return the cart thing? Is that out of your brain, or have you,
no,
you have
Carrie
personal
has,
experience?
Carrie with works with a teacher that has chickens, and if you bring her a carton, she will put eggs in it. But she says the hassle is trying to find cartons all the time.
Does she give you free eggs when you bring a carton?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
because
not
she has
all the
so
time.
Many
just
producers.
Yeah, she's got a lot of chickens.
Right, well, we still don't know next door what the deal is.
Yeah,
really. To be honest with you, I mean,
be very
the
careful.
Eggs are there. We buy them, but no, I don't think it's that way. It's just not. You know, when someone's not
engaging,
knocking on your door, or
hey,
you know,
I'm the neighbor.
Hi there.
Welcome back.
Buenos ding dong diddly dee, senor. How about those delicious eggs?
But it's great
to have
chickens.
It's great to have all this around. So that's all. And what was the last thing I wanted to tell you about Maine? Thank you to the Ring Doorbell Company. I want to say they're doing a fantastic job because, as you know, I have on my separate garage, I have a Ring floodlight cam that is triggered automatically by motion detection. And that's why when I woke up this morning and I came out of the bathroom, Carla showed me the video of me peeing off the deck.
The best of O'Mara.
In my lifetime, there have been very few days where I could not have done without the little magic box than yesterday. That having the little television yesterday was a big day. This was a good day to park it for a big chunk of the day in front of the magic box. We saw what is arguably the greatest sports comeback in history, in modern history, with Tiger Woods, and then the premiere of one of the last really great TV shows of the era. And man, oh man, both of them did not disappoint. I am flying high off, and who knows, the little magic box that if you don't watch television, to hell with you. You're not going
to
know what I'm talking about.
To hell
you
with
you. Television.
To hell with you. To hell with
one
you.
One of the greatest Sundays of television watching of all time.
Absolutely.
And Mike, not to mention, you know, we have the aforementioned Masters, History's Made. You've got Game of Thrones. If you were done with Game of Thrones and you still had something in you,
right,
you go to Billions, watch a sweet episode of Billions.
And is no one going to mention 60 Minutes?
60 Minutes. No, I'm not going
to
mention it because I didn't watch it.
That was simply a joke.
And then
you know what I got into? I got into Big Little Lies, though, which is coming up in June, too.
Yeah, well, oh,
which is another pretty great television show.
You've got also. You had a great episode of Veep, Mike. You could watch that if you wanted to.
No.
A new episode
of
Barry.
Maybe I didn't log as much time as you did.
Oh, so fantastic.
I did take little food breaks occasionally. Big food breaks.
To stretch your legs, you know, just
to stretch my
circulation.
Legs.
Circulation, yeah.
You know, as somebody who has, you know, studied broadcast journalism, got my degree from AU in broadcast journalism, I will tell you, for sports broadcasters, if you happen to have it recorded, anybody that's interested in ever doing any play-by-play of any kind, anywhere, anyhow, you go back to the Masters and watch Vern Lundquist on hole number 16 at the Masters, who I posted about it as soon. It was so wonderfully understated. All the great ones park their ego at the door. The crappy ones, it's such an easy tell, because at the big moment, they let it happen. They just let it happen, and then they punctuate it with a few extremely well thought out words that highlight the moment and make the moment better. And Vern Lundquist, I always knew he was one of the best. Mm-hmm. He's called some of the best in the game of golf. But this guy, who I have no idea how old Vern is, but he's still at it at the Masters and did an absolutely incredible job of just letting the moment happen, followed by Ian Baker Finch, who messed himself I've never heard diarrhea of the mouth, almost to the point, not quite, but almost to the point where they had to check him a little bit and just say, hey, shut the F
Man's
up,
about to
please.
Putt.
Yeah, I mean, it's
quiet time.
With a please side do of that. Yeah. And then, you know, our good friend, Jim Nance, nobody can do it better than he, you know, it's old hat for him. He knows what he's doing. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
Vern Lundquist is 78. And here's something you didn't know. Wow. You know why his name is Vern?
Why?
Because his middle name is Laverne. His name is Merton Laverne Lundquist Jr.
Laverne.
Yeah, Laverne.
Shamil.
Schlamazel. Hassel and Pepper Incorporated.
So
and now you know.
I posted yesterday for someone who, for the sport I love, a great day for the sport I love more than anything else, where I put it on the map that, if you go look at numbers and little kids watching and people that want to maybe get interested in
the game
and watch it, here's what the vast majority of Americans don't know about what those guys do. They don't know the degree of difficulty it is. To play at they're all of us that play at the amateur level. And then there are those guys that do that. And the separation, they always talk, well, it's a great sport because, you know, you can go out and do what we watch on television every week. What they do on television every week is at such a different level. Not even close. There's no one in the amateur ranks of an amateur golfer, that goes out and plays that can ever have a day like any of those guys having usually a bad day. You have their absolute worst day. That's kind of what the average golfer does. So knowing it from my perspective and knowing how hard it is to do it well and to watch what those guys do under pressure,
yeah.
I'm feeling the pressure when Tiger's standing there. It's so much fun. And then the comeback story, it was really something to behold, really I don't know. Would you say probably the greatest comeback of our modern era as far as sports is concerned?
The only other golf moment, and you know, I followed golf a long time because it was always on in my house. Big Daddy watched golf every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I can only equate it to, was it 87 when Jack Nicklaus won his last Masters?
86.
86. And that was the sort of building of excitement, and you felt it coming up Friday into Saturday, and it could happen, and then Sunday it happens. And I mean, that's a moment I remember. I remember watching that happen. As I'll remember, you know, this
happened.
But
the comeback factor.
The comeback is amazing. You can't.
There's no equalizer
to
that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And if I can be honest about men and the way men react to this, you know, here is a guy that not only came back from, what, having his spine fused?
Yeah.
Literally thinking he might not play ever again, play golf.
2 years ago, he said, 2 years ago, he publicly said, it's over. He said it.
Yeah. He thought it was over. But the public humiliation of being that icon, that number one most fall recognizable sports figure, and the fall from grace that, you know, was that played out on the national stage as recently as a couple of years ago when he got pulled over for having the painkillers in his system.
To put it in perspective for everyone who has been with the podcast from day one, I actually double checked my math on this. The first audio vault we did on the first podcast was when his voicemail broke.
Ooh.
Remember when he says, hey, this is Tiger. You don't need to talk about this.
Snitches get stitches.
That was the first audio vault we did. So, I mean, if you've been with us since 2009.
And we piled on like
everybody else, of course.
Be a good egg. My wife went through my BlackBerry.
Yeah.
BlackBerry. That's BlackBerry was relevant.
That's how long ago
then.
It is.
If she calls, just don't say anything or don't pick up.
The mental toughness of this guy to endure, you know. And by the way. And it's really important to point out, and I don't diminish what he brought the behavior
of course.
Caused all of his problems, but the behavior was there for everybody to see. And obviously he made adjustments. Who knows We don't know what he's doing in his personal life, but it was out there.
And is it our business anymore? Like, you
might not be. Might not be. You know, I mean, if it's out there and it's not hurting anybody, and you know, he's. But the thing that was, it looks to me, you know, based on the having his children there,
it seems like he's got a good egg in that girl.
He's a good single parent. You know, he's a good divorced dad. But that was that part. I think makes it more of the comeback, not just the physical comeback, but the fact that the fall from grace was, usually when that happens to people, don't they kind of curl up into a bar and go away, or curl up into a bar?
It's you against the world.
The world.
Which it was.
The
world. He lost every big sponsor.
Yeah.
This except is, and just, and, well, except for Nike.
Right.
But if to put this in further context, and Mike, you have probably a better background, but people have case studies. I mean, business schools have case studies on how much he meant to these brands and how much he moves markets. And we talked briefly that one day, like if Michelin or one of his attire sponsors, if he wins, they have a market moving percentage of 10 to 20%. If he wins, if the man wins the tournament, he's a 20-point mover for someone's bottom line if you signed up with him.
He's an industry upon himself.
And the game itself. I don't know if there's ever been a sports figure singularly who, you know, you can look at Michael Jordan with basketball and Air Jordans, and you can look at the popularity of the NBA. It was there for Jordan. It's there in the NFL with a guy like Tom Brady. But nobody moves the meter like Tiger Woods does when he's even in a tournament. Mm-hmm. You watch the television ratings for this. And golf has been treading water, and whether they want to admit it or not, as far as participation and people playing the game. And I just love to see the kids. My five-year-old,
of course,
knows who this guy is. And by the way, I'm not parking him in front of the television set until the tournament was over, and I let him watch the last putt. That's it, you know, but it's amazing the consciousness that they have. And when you talk about just the way, I think it's the way somebody makes you feel. And Carla, I think women and men might separate a little bit on this. I think this is, I think a lot of guys recognize how beat up he was and good, bad, brought it on himself, totally understand. But with that said, would it be safe to say there's a bit of an for sports fans, majority of men who watch sports out there are looking at him and going, man, he really
he paid his
up,
dues.
But he paid his dues and then he came back to do this. And because of that fallibility, that's why John Daly's popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's fallible. There's weakness there. You see the weakness there.
Yep.
Tiger has this cocktail that everybody, that's why the man's people go nuts over
the only
guy.
Thing that Americans like better than a superhuman is someone with a comeback story.
Also.
And that's
shows that he's a weak guy.
He's not weak with calories, because when he put on that coat, just a quick, you should know this, America.
I'm weak with calories. That's for later in the show.
I had to look this up. When they're putting the green jacket on him, and mind you, I'm no golf mark.
Right.
I like it because the guys like it. A lot of people in my life like it.
You love the event. Nobody loves the event. You don't miss the event.
I actually think on the show I said that Tiger is going to win this. Just a throwaway comment. You guys thought I was crazy. I'll say.
Yeah, Mike, actually, if you want to check the tape, what happened is Jim Nantz said he wasn't sure that Tiger had another major in him.
When I asked him about it.
And then Oscar said, shut up, you fool.
I said, shh, he's putting. And then,
no, isn't it funny that Jim Nantz wouldn't commit to that? He doesn't think, he thinks there's a chance he'll win another major.
That's right.
So even Jim Nantz would not, you know, do that because, well.
It was a long shot,
With the comeback. So it's great.
Tiger's putting on his jacket and he says it fits. Now. They don't give him a new jacket every time they win. I had to read this.
Yeah, I found this out this morning.
So it's not a brand new shiny one where you can have like five in your locker.
By the way, there's some copy coming up that is going to propagate that fallacy.
And I tell my story,
it's not
for God's sakes, please. Jesus Christ. All right. So at Augusta, when you win, say you win at 21 like Tiger Woods first did, you get one jacket and you only get it tailored again if and after they put it on you. So that one jacket is forever your jacket. If you're going to win it so many times like Tiger Woods has, his fifth time, mind you, that is the same jacket. So at age 43, the same jacket that he had on at 21
is that really
fits
true?
Him 100%.
One jacket.
That is an amazing story.
And they never launder it.
I'm kidding.
You're such an ass. You are such an ass.
He hates sports. Gotta let him have that. He hates all sports.
But can you imagine?
He'll never think it's a serious interview.
Can you imagine being 21 and then going to 43 in the same jacket size?
I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking about when you're saying this? I'm thinking about his body type when he was 21. And the only thing that has changed is that he didn't have any fat at all on him.
Right.
He built a little muscle, but it still fills out the shoulders. But the waist is still the same. And
oh, my.
Sorry, I just cried a little bit.
He's a champion at life and at golf.
Hey, Mike.
You know, it reminds me also of the taxi episode where Jim Ignatowski is going through his dead father's suitcase or trunk. And he takes out these pants that have like a 70-inch waist. And he goes, oh, these are my father's wedding pants. And, you know, 20 years later, he could still fit into them. That's Taxi Driver, which was one of the great shows of all time, too.
Taxi's so
but
great.
Man, oh, man, what a day for everybody. You know, if you're a sports fan and you like this. And I shouldn't, by the way, I know there are lots of women that got into it. I got messages from women about it. You know, it's true.
About what?
I'm just about Tiger winning. It's not exclusive. And I don't want to make it sound like it's exclusive
for
to guys.
Men? Oh, okay.
I'm saying the guys react to the man who's been in the doghouse. Mm. That's just a fact of life. That's the way. That's the way you look at that if you've ever screwed up.
And women react a different way. I was in the lobby here, Podcast Village, Mike, and they were talking about Tiger and Dahlia. The bitch turn.
Yes, we're going to meet Dahlia today.
She was going off on all the illicit activity he had in his background. I said,
yes. My wife does the same thing.
Get a pass. He pays alimony. Like he gave, he followed the rules. He broke all the rules.
Who did she say that? Maybe we can have her answer.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll have her answer. I said that, and I walked out with my latte, and I said, can't the guy just win after 10 years, and we can celebrate for 2 seconds and forget about all his misgivings?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe because I've been through divorces, I was, I was watching afterwards when he's got the girlfriend is there, and, the only thing I can say about that, a little too much shoulder. Just a little too much shoulder.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say about that particular.
She was the talk of Augusta.
Not sure the hat worked for me either, but it's hot and cloudy and rainy.
Why the hat?
I don't know. Why the hat? I don't know.
And Tiger should keep his hat on. And you can say what you will about his golf
Tiger,
game, Mike.
Well, he's in his four. You're the one to tell that story.
Well,
I've
shaved my head.
How long did you hold on? Did you hold on until you had wisp? Trust me, I'm getting to the wispy stage up top. This whole thing is coming off. Yeah. This whole thing's coming off.
Yeah, it maybe would be a better look for him to take it all off.
You can be jealous of his golf game, Mike. You can be jealous of his golf game, jealous of his life, but you still have your hair.
But mine's also, you know, all I know is when I used to walk out here in the Florida sunshine and have no problems at all, now the top of my head's getting a sunburn, and there's only one reason for that, okay? Thinning the herd as far as those little hairs up there.
Been there.
That's it, exactly. But congratulations to Tiger Woods, and for anybody there'll be somebody pissed off at me for that little recap, but send the letter to my attorney. Thank you very much.
Best of O'Mara.
Welcome back to the show. Whoa. It is the big game.
Yes.
That's right. This Sunday, Patriots, Falcons, who will win? And now, without further ado, it's our Super Bowl special edition of Nicky Diamond, who is...
Hello.
Hey, Nicky Diamond. Woo! Super Bowl weekend is upon us. We are so very excited to have you on the show. How are things? Are you at the big game or are you in Pahrump?
Come on, Mike. I'm in Pahrump. I'm getting ready for the big Arnie's Lounge Super Bowl.
Okay.
Nicky,
could what? Look, I don't mind if you throw... Well, I do mind, but there's nothing that's going to change that. I just don't like it at the front of the show. Glad you're so... You know what? I've got to accept certain things. So you're going to Arnie's Bar to watch the big game.
Cocktail
that's
lounge.
Great.
The lounge.
I'm not going there. I'm throwing a party, Mike.
All right.
You know, I would invite you, but you're clearly afraid of flying because you never travel.
Yeah, well, I don't travel. Sorry, I won't be able to make it. I'm really sad. But Nicky, I would be lying to you if I said you were not becoming wildly popular on the Mike O'Mara show. People are making promos about you. People are loving Nicky Diamond, and
you've won a lot of people over.
Yeah,
you've won people over, and there has to be some. Yes, there has to be some sort of presence for Nicky Diamond as we go through the offseason, the NFL offseason, too. But I'm very happy, and I'm happy that things are going well for you, Nicky. At least I think they are. How are things going?
Well, things are great, Mike. Thank you for those kind words. I do it all for the people and for the paycheck that I was from.
Okay. All right. That's great. I'm sorry that
I don't think there was ever anything promised. I think things were discussed.
Yeah. Can we maybe just get right to the Super Bowl and not?
I have one other question for Nikki, if you don't mind.
Yeah, as long as it's not a financial one, I'll be very happy.
No, it's fine. Nikki, listen.
Yes, Bermuda Boy. Yes.
I know that
Bermuda Boy.
You hate the idea of gambling on bets that just don't work out, and like prop bets.
Yeah.
Prop bets.
He doesn't like prop bets? Nikki doesn't like prop bets?
If you're a professional, you those are hack bets, right?
They're sucker bets, but hey, this is the one time a year that I will allow a sucker bet is the Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, good. Do you have any prop bets that you'd like to share with us by any chance?
Well, absolutely. Take the Patriots on the coin toss. Belichick, he's got a coin toss scout. He knows these things. They always win.
A coin toss scout.
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, that's quite an organization, Nikki. That really is.
Attention to detail.
Yeah, that's great. Are you looking forward to the Lady Gaga performance at halftime?
A huge fan. Seen her 3 times.
really?
Wow.
What venues?
I've seen her at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas twice. And then I saw a drag show thing. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It was a mistake. I thought I was seeing her.
Okay. I didn't know that. Well,
it's amazing.
I guess it's time to discuss the big game, Nikki. A lot of people talking about it. I think we haven't had an evenly matched Super Bowl like this in quite some time. Would that be accurate to say, prognosticator of Perump?
Well, it's a 3-point point spread, so it looks to be an even game. But I mean, people thought the Seahawks Broncos was going to be a close game, and that ended up being a rout. So, but look, we know what the Patriots are, Mike. We're familiar. Belichick, Brady, they're legends, right. and you think they've got the experience.
Right.
But sometimes. Someone new steps up. Someone new comes about and shakes up the entire thing.
Okay.
Kind of like the Nikki Diamond Show will do for the Michael Mara Radio Enterprise.
Okay. All right. Well, at least he hasn't mentioned the other sponsor, which
that's
is
right.
Wonderful. I'm glad that's happening. Pawn World. I heard it. I heard Pawn World.
What's that, Pawn World? Yeah,
even if you whisper it still counts. What did we talk about, Nick?
Look, guys, seriously, though, it's going to be 35-24, Atlanta Falcons. They will score a late touchdown to put this away. The New England defense, very overrated. They played nobody. They will be exposed. The Falcons will win their first Super Bowl. It's a year of first. Clemson hasn't won in a long time. The Falcons will win. A year of first.
That's exciting.
That is.
It's funny because normally we have multiple games and we get kind of our diamond pick of the week. Was that our diamond pick of the week? Did you just sneak it in there, Nikki?
I did not sneak it in. The diamond pick of the week. I'll give you 2 diamond picks of the week.
Oh,
very excited. There's two.
Double diamond.
Double diamond picks of the week because of the Super Bowl.
It's very
exciting.
You guys going to play one of those square pool things?
Yeah, box pool.
Oh, yeah, box pool. Absolutely.
I got to get into mine. Yeah, I got to get into mine.
Well, here's a little trick. You tilt it to the side with the diamond pool. Hashtag diamond pool, please.
So you take the square pool and you actually just
45
turn
degrees.
The poster. God, I wish I was at Jimmy's this weekend.
Diamond pool. Go ahead, play your diamond pool. This is a lock. 2 across, 4 down. I got a diamond square pool guy. 2 across, 4 down.
Write it down.
Put your initials on that square. The other lock of the week.
Yes.
Nikki Diamond, diamond pick of the week. Lady Gaga's first song will be Bad Romance. Da, 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 light it up.
There we go. Thank you, Nikki. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game at Arnie's Cocktail Lounge. That's where Nikki's big party is going to be. And wow, that's by the way, that's a real place too.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody sent it to me, or Oscar found it, or something. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Monday. Is this October 20th already?
Oh, yeah,
can you
man.
Believe it?
Yeah.
October 20th, 2014. Take it away, Rob.
Mike, when it comes to motivational speakers who also used to coach the football at the college level, it's hard to beat Lou Holtz.
And by the way, we'll have a coaching story tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, excellent.
You won't want to miss that.
ESPN College Football Scoreboard. That's the show on ESPN. Lou Holtz is a panelist on there. Here he is in context. I want you to try to tell me what Lou says here, because the man has a lot of knowledge.
I mean, I cannot believe he is still broadcasting. The last clip you played of Lou Holtz was unintelligible.
Well, this is Mike. You can. I think there's something to be learned here.
They will get to talk a whole lot more at halftime. I promise.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold,
but they're counting down 7, 6, 5.
Okay, that's it in Whoa. Context. So let's hear it again. Let's just hear Lou. Okay.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold, but they're.
So I had, I thought I had it, so I listened again.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold, but they're.
So I said, you know what the problem is? The problem is he's talking too fast.
Oh, no.
So I slowed it down. No, Let's see how he sounds now.
Well, I don't get the rain man cold, but they're.
And that didn't help. I still couldn't understand it. So I said, you know what we need to do? We need to play it backwards. That's
right.
If you play the original again. I'm sorry. Those are your clips?
Well, I don't get
it's like the Tasmanian devil.
It is. It really is. Let's hear it again.
I don't get
So my... I actually ran it through Google Translate, and what he's saying is, drink your Ovaltine.
Poor guy.
This I love. I think Ian McKellen is a great actor. Is he in your Hobbit movie?
Yeah, he's Gandalf.
And he actually quoted Gandalf. He was he was addressing some kids, elementary school kids, that were getting ready for organized testing. And
cool guy. Very, very funny man. Great actor. Sweet guy. Really, really good guy.
And, you know, I can imagine that these kids are probably a little frightened because this big old man is coming in to their school to tell them about their test. But he pulls it off. This is pretty cool.
In your preparation for your examinations, if you don't do your revision properly, do you know what will happen? You shall not pass!
Isn't that great?
That's so cool.
They asked a kid about it after it, and he said...
Well, I don't get they're cold, but they're...
All right, let's turn our attention to Tennessee, which is in the southern part of this great nation of ours. There's a sheriff there named Joe Guy, and there was a fugitive by the name of Tim Black, Mike. You wouldn't believe where Joe Guy found Tim Black.
He did locate Mr. Black in a closet, evidently enjoying a bowl of salad. But he was able to finally get him to put the fork down because that could potentially be used as a weapon. And I suppose a salad could, too. Sometimes people just do strange things. Well, at least he was eating healthy. You might say that. So, again, just glad everything turned out good.
Now, the thing, I listened to that a couple times. I can see the fork being a weapon, but how is the salad a weapon?
Not going to hurt you with the salad. No, unless they like jam it into your eye.
Croutons. The croutons are merciless.
Depends on the dressing. If there's a lot of pepper in the dressing. You know?
I'm glad you brought up pepper, Mike, because here's the sound of the Keene, New Hampshire Pumpkin Festival over the weekend where actually had to call out riot gear and they shot pepper balls.
Hold on. Wait.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Keene State, my buddy, Joey, my lifelong buddy and guy that I went to high school with.
Right.
And he's a graduate of Keene State. And Keene State, this is amazing. We should talk about this tomorrow on the show because this is really why they went nuts. This is the most innocent.
It's a pumpkin festival.
It's pumpkin, but apparently they get the trouble that comes to town for this thing. So
here's the
sound.
Ahead, here's the actual audio of this is a pumpkin festival. The sound you hear is pepper balls. I did not know what these were. Mm. It's like a paintball gun, but the balls are filled with pepper spray.
Wow.
So they can actually shoot them greater distance with more precision to quell riots. And here is a description of what went down there, okay?
With a Jack Daniels bottle, like across the face. I was in the health center for a little bit, but I left.
Of course.
It's ridiculous. It's not Pumpkin Fest. I don't even, from Rhode Island, we're supposed to have a fun weekend, and this is stupid.
It all collected in Winchester, in the Winchester lot. C-
watch a car get flipped, watch a car get totally destroyed by like 10 guys, probably just windshield like smashed out.
So that's what you do at a pumpkin festival, I guess. You turn a car
Saw
over.
Saw the video.
Well, it's the youth of America now kind of not protesting anything, not really giving a rat's ass about
noise.
The world's problems. But, you know, when you're young and you've got that energy, it's got to kind of come out. I mean, that's where protest movements start with young people. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
We didn't see any of it at the Jerry Lewis show. And finally, I believe this was in Canada, a man found a dead mouse in the bottom of his cup of McDonald's coffee.
A man in New Brunswick, Canada, claims that he found a dead mouse in the bottom of his McDonald's coffee. Sounds like someone slipped him a Mickey.
Thank you, Seth Meyers. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.